Homily for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, January 15th, 2023, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. What we just heard serves as a bridge from the end of the Christmas season into the season of Ordinary Time, which we have now begun. The final days of Christmas bring us the stories of the Magi in Bethlehem and the baptism of the Lord Jesus. Today's Gospel is the testimony of St. John the Baptist, and we'll dig into that a little more deeply in a few moments. First of all, at this time of year, I like to explain the literal meaning of this phrase, ordinary time. The term ordinary comes from a Latin root which means numbered, as in a sequence. Thinking of the more common meaning of ordinary sounds like we are underselling the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, which were anything but ordinary. The two-thirds of the liturgical year of which ordinary time consists has a theme, namely accompanying Christ in his public ministry. Imagine that Sunday after Sunday, we go where he goes, see the miracles he performs, and listen to what he has to say. The church has put together a three-year cycle of Sunday readings. A result of that is, from now until the end of 2025, let's say, we meditate on a rather large chunk of sacred scripture. Starting next weekend, we will dive into the Gospel of Matthew and use that Gospel for a large majority of Sunday Masses until the next liturgical year begins. Okay, so now the public service announcement portion of this homily is over. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. When families go to a state fair, they will often make a stop at the sheep barn so that the kiddos can pet their soft wool. My nieces and nephews have Easter time pictures from sessions when they were very small in which they were seated next to or were holding a live lamb. That's not the kind of thing a guy would think of, I suppose, but after the fact, I am grateful to my sister-in-law because those photos are pretty cute. A sheep is not a predatory creature roaming through the hills and howling at the moon. Rather, it has a more humble and docile nature. Perhaps some of you recall the movie Babe from the 90s, in which the title character, a pig, exhibited skills of a shepherd. One of the refrains of that film was that sheep are stupid animals. I think that's sort of a bad rap, but they are vulnerable and need to be cared for. John the Baptist's use of the term Lamb of God has a whole other spiritual significance, going beyond the temperament of such animals. We know the title is significant from the number of times the church incorporates it into every single Mass. For example, during the Gloria and before receiving communion. To appreciate the code behind this language, we need to revisit the story of the Passover. The first half of the book of Exodus recounts how Moses, as God's appointed leader of the Hebrews, appealed to the Pharaoh to let the people go and be free of their slavery. Pharaoh haughtily replied, "I do not know this God of whom you speak, and even if I did, I wouldn't let the people go. We depend on their labor, and maybe they are talking about such nonsense because they are not kept busy enough. They are complaining because of their idleness." God sent a series of plagues upon the Egyptians, such as turning water into blood and days devoid of sunlight, but the Pharaoh only became more obstinate. This led to God inflicting the final and most severe of the plagues, which Jews to this day commemorate as an annual holiday. God sent Moses to tell the people on a certain night to gather as households, so no one would be off on their own, and offer as a sacrifice a year-old male sheep without blemish. They were to consume the lamb as an evening meal, before which they were to apply some of its blood to the posts and lintel of their home. Seeing the blood of the Lamb, God's angel would pass over the dwelling and leave all its inhabitants unharmed, whereas in every other house, the firstborn of human and animals alike would perish. Here's another movie reference from the 1990s. There was an excellent animated film called The Prince of Egypt. The filmmakers knew they needed to depict this event, but needed to do so delicately for young audiences. So the scene portrays a wide view of the city and whispers of smoke departing from each house, accompanied by an audible sigh. This was an ingenious choice. The Hebrew word ruah means both spirit and breath. As each Egyptian died, the life breath was taken from them. That very night, Pharaoh ordered Moses and the people to leave their country. Fearing more calamities, the Egyptian people even offered valuable gifts to the Israelites to entice them to get out of Dodge. The Passover was a seminal moment in salvation history. It is no coincidence that Jesus held what we call the Last Supper on the night of Passover. While not a year old, Jesus was male in the prime of his young adulthood and sinless, that is, without blemish. John the Baptist foreshadowed in that brief phrase how Jesus would become our eternal Passover Lamb. And as Isaiah proclaimed in our first reading, this Lamb would bring salvation to all nations of the world. Israel was not only to benefit from God's saving work, while the rest of the world would be left out in the cold, Israel was God's servant, increasing in all peoples, including you and me, the hope that the gates of heaven are now unlocked for us too. What do we make of the two times in which St. John the Baptist said of Jesus, "I did not know him"? At first blush, that sounds ridiculous. Mary and Elizabeth were blood relatives. From the womb, John delighted in his cousin's presence during the visitation. With the importance of extended family bonds in that culture, how could John possibly say that he did not know the Lord? Well, what he meant is that he did not fully understand Jesus' identity as true God and true man, as well as the mission the Father had given him. With the signs accompanying Christ's baptism, such as the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father's voice booming from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son," it all became clearer. Of course, John knew of his cousin from Nazareth, who must have been exceptional in every way from his childhood on, but John didn't know the whole story about from the start. With great humility, as people were presuming that the Baptist might actually be the Messiah, John insisted that he was not worthy to unfasten the straps of Jesus' sandals, and that John was to decrease while Jesus would increase. When we come to the point in Mass where we regale the Lord with this title, Lamb of God, let's be sure to reflect on what it means for us that he has taken away the sins of the world. Let us rejoice in Christ, our eternal Passover Lamb, who from the cross became both our high priest and our victim of sacrifice. And let us always be sure to approach the table of his precious body and blood worthily. Amen.